So as many of you know, the Hub, His United Body Community Church, will be starting up next Sunday, January 14th at 10:30 a.m., which is a church plant that Higher Hope has sent us to be a part of. Now, that would mean that this would be my official last Sunday as associate pastor here at Higher Hope. So I have to say that being up here this morning is one of those bittersweet moments. Sweet in the sense that God has called me to be a pastor of a church in Elmira, to be a church that's going to reach that community directly in Elmira, to reach those people with the love of Christ. The bitter part is leaving a family here that I've served alongside for 6 years. And what Pastor Mike's asked me to do this morning is take a short bit of time. I got about 10, 15 minutes to share with you. He'd like me, we've talked about the one word, he'd like me to give Higher Hope one word as I leave with my family and several other families go to this church plant in Elmira. So my job this morning is to give you one word that I think is something that Higher Hope needs to focus on throughout the year. And I did a lot of praying through this. You know, what's that one word going to be? What's going to be that word that I want to leave Higher Hope with as I move forward with the calling God has in my life, and the people that are coming with us also have that calling on their life. And that one word I came to was invest. Invest. You see, what I started realizing is that through the last 6 years, a lot of people probably think that I've been investing in other people, which is true. However, I think a lot of people don't think about how you invested back in me. And how everyone here has invested in me, invested in my ministry. And that's why I think invest is a huge word. You see, some people don't realize that when you go on these crazy missions trips about 8 hours away to Tennessee on a whim, saying, let's just go to Tennessee to help these people that had a fire down there, and you have a carload of 8 guys in a big 15-passenger van driving 8 hours, you invest in each other's lives. Am I right, Clevelands? Right? Okay, I mean, it's one of those things that you invest in, right? You know, backpacking. I'm going to pick on her because she's right here, Maddie Reynolds, okay? And if I call you out this morning, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just trying to prove the point that we invest, okay? Backpacking. I told the girls backpacking trips here. By the way, the first time doing it because I'm like, girls in the Adirondacks, I'm not sure if I want to go that route. But they did a great job. Anyways, on the way down from the peak, I was telling them that whole day, find out what God is speaking to you in your life. I didn't come with a devotion. I said, see what God is trying to teach you. And what happened was another girl decided to step off this little branch she was on the trail down, and she ended up stepping in mud about above her knee. Had to help her back out. She was not very happy. However, on the way back, I said, what'd you guys learn from God? And what Maddie says is, you know, remember when she stepped in that mud? It's like idols in our lives. We see the mud, it looks like solid ground, we step on it, we're stuck, we can't get out, someone pulls us back out. That is investing back in me, whether you knew it or not, by the way. You see, we invest in each other every single day. And as a church, as Higher Hope, we have to continue to invest. Pastor Mike invested in me when I was a teenager. Yes, he also threw a football up on a stage that I went and dove through the curtain to catch, caught it. Also got a huge gash in my eyebrow from hitting the pew behind the curtain. That happened. Okay, we also played volleyball night till about midnight, I think, afterwards. So, but that's all investing, right? It's that the fun, the laughter, the spiritual, the just relationship building is investing. And that's what Higher Hope has done for me and my family and for those families that are going to go with us to be sent to start this church in Elmira, to reach those lost people in Elmira. That's what Higher Hope has done. But you see, invest does not end there, right? We can't just, as Higher Hope, say, okay, we invested in them, we sent them, we're good. No, investing is to continue investing. We can't just stop and say, okay, we invested, we're good. We got to continue to invest. Let me use some examples from Scripture. So investing, some of you guys know Timothy, right? He's got 2 books written to him, 2 letters written to him. Okay, from Paul. So Paul, right? Timothy's a guy who Paul wrote letters to invest in his life. Timothy's a guy who started off with 2 ladies investing in his life, teaching him Scripture at a young age, teaching him about God, teaching him about Jesus, who Jesus was. He was invested in. Paul continued to invest in him. He had other people investing in him. That's helped Timothy become the pastor he was. Let me read something here. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 10 to 14. This will give you a little view of what the relationship was like between Paul and Timothy. says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Listeria, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Timothy knew Paul because Paul invested in Timothy's life. Timothy knew about his persecutions. He knew about Paul's patience, his love, all that stuff we listed off, right? That only happens when you invest in each other. And Paul says, you know this about me, so go and live a life for Christ, knowing the stuff I've taught you, that you become convinced of. See, Timothy was one of these ones, and I'm just going to give you two different kind of people here. Okay, Timothy is one of those ones that we kind of, you know, we look at and we say, there's that spark. I see the spark immediately in that person. Timothy, you saw a spark in quick, right? He was taught a young age. He knew the scripture. Paul probably saw that spark and just went. That's a spark. I'm going to go for it. We got to invest in people like that. When you see them, you see that spark and you're like, okay, let's turn that spark into a flame. Let's invest. But you know, that not everyone's like that, right? Not everyone has that initial spark of this, I got it, I'm running with it. You see, other people are kind of like this other guy in the Bible. Now, I'm going to go back to Paul again. Paul and Barnabas, they were sent also with John Mark on a missionary journey. John Mark was a guy who went with them, started doing the mission with them. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, you'll see what happens. Come in, Erica. There we go. From Paphos, Paul and his companion sailed to Perga and Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. So John left them from a missionary trip, right? John was a guy who said, I'm not ready for this yet. You know what happened? Later on, Paul and Barnabas said to go again, and Barnabas brings up John Mark, and Paul says, no, he bailed once. Nope, not worth my time. This is Paul, right, who's been investing in Timothy, correct? Same person. But what Barnabas says is, you know what? I see something in John Mark. I'm going to invest my time in John Mark. John Mark was not that easy one to invest in because he already pulled back once. He already stepped back and said, nope, not for me. But Barnabas said, nope, I'm going to leave you, Paul, because I'm going to go and invest in John Mark. And later on in Scripture, we find out is Paul ends up saying John Mark is beneficial to the mission because Barnabas invested. You see, not everyone like Timothy has that spark, that big spark everyone sees, okay, we got to invest in him. Some people are the ones that kind of sit in the background. You know, you'll see sometimes I'll nudge the teens to come up here, and I got to nudge them all the way up here pretty much, okay, because they just don't want to be up here. Other people, I already gave them fair warning, like Tommy Cleveland. He did not want to be up here for Gladiator Night coming out here with all the Gladiator costume off. You hear that day and he came out? He did not want to be up here, okay? But I nudged him because you know what? Everyone has a calling in their life from God. And we are called to invest in them so they can find that calling. See, without all you guys investing in my life, my family's life, I don't know. Would I be at the point I'm at now, ready to go pastor a church in Elmira, the church plant? We so quickly forget that each of us is investing in each other's lives each and every time we come together. You see, the one word of invest, as Higher Hope sends my family and those families coming with us, that can't be the end. That can't be the point where Higher Hope stops investing and stops investing people to find their calling in God. Because you know what? When you invest in people, you may be investing in the next pastor. You may be investing in the next youth pastor, the next person who runs the food or the greeting outside. You may be investing in the person that says, you know what? I'm called to lead a ministry way over here, and that's okay. You may be investing in the next missionary who says, I feel called to go on the mission field overseas and reach people for Christ. You see, we don't know, right? We start investing what God has called for that person. But what I do know is we are called to invest. And if we just stop and say, is Higher Hope, okay, we did a great job investing, we're sending, now let's just relax for a little bit. No. 2018 needs to be a year of investing. Invest in those young kids. Invest in those teenagers. Invest in each other. You know, have fun, right? So I'm going to call people out. So, Bart, you invest more than you think you do in softball teams. You do. The guys come out and play softball. That's more investing you think there is. Because you're investing in their life. You're getting to know them. You're speaking into their lives. Getting together playing games just as a couple families. That's investing. You see, investing is like a holistic approach, right? You want to invest in that relationship. Get to know the people, right? Have some fun. Laugh. Go on a trip together, maybe even. Spiritual-wise, you want to invest spiritually. That's why I say a holistic approach, right? Encompassing everything. That's how you invest. And I challenge you guys as a church, as we leave, as we are sent, this is not an easy thing for us because we love Higher Hope. However, God is calling us to step. And it's because you have all invested in us and will continue to invest, because I know some of you are going to continue to pray for us. That's investing in us. Some of you continue to come down to the Transformation Center and be a part of the Ministry Transformation Center. That's investing in what the Hub is about. The investment cannot stop. So as we go from here today, this is my last probably real sermon to you guys, unless Pastor Mike goes on vacation, needs someone to fill in. Maybe I'll be around to fill in if I'm not doing something down there. But the point is that I want you guys to remember the word invest for 2018. Because that's what you all did for my family and for the families that are going with us. Don't stop there. Continue to invest. I want to pray for Higher Hope at this point in time. I want to pray over you as a church as we're leaving. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for Higher Hope, Lord, just for all that it stands for, Lord. Lord, Higher Hope is all about leading people to abundant life in Christ. And it's just amazing watching people come together and invest in other people's lives, Lord. But don't let it stop this year, Lord. Help us to put invest as the forefront of our thinking so that we will continue to invest in each one around us, Lord, to find, help that person find the calling in their life that you have for them, Lord. Lord, I pray for Higher Hope's impact in this community that will continue to impact people's lives for you, to show people the love that you've shown them. Lord, just reach out to those around the community. Lord, I just thank you for each person here. I thank you for all the ministry leaders, the children's ministry who just does an awesome job with our kids each and every week, the youth ministry, Lord, the men's women's ministry, the women's ministry. There's so many things going on here that Higher Hope is just impacting people for you. Lord, we just pray once again that you'll help us to remember the one word, invest, and to continue to invest in people's lives as we move forward. In your name, amen.
So I get the second part of this message, and Jeremy spoke to Higher Hope with all of you, and I get to speak a little bit into those who are leaving for his united body. This is the word that I'm choosing for you in a way for this year, and yeah, I also want all of Higher Hope to really buy into this word too, because I think both words are really words that we all need to grasp. Jeremy used this term bittersweet. I don't know if you are familiar with that term. Bittersweet means that there's good parts to it and there's bad parts to it. There's all sorts of bittersweet experiences that we walk through. When your kid's in kindergarten, on the verge of kindergarten, that first day of kindergarten is this word bittersweet. You know what I mean? There's this like joy of your kid finally walking through the front door, going to school. It's a marking point. You're all excited. They're excited. They have their new school box, lunch box, and their new clothes, and they're going to meet some new friends, and they're going to have nap time and snack time, and learn. You know, they're excited, and you're somewhat excited, but isn't there also a part of bitterness of like, can I just hang on to them a little bit longer? Just, I don't necessarily want them to go quite yet, even though you think it's good for them. You know, there's that, it's bittersweet. My son is turning 16 in 2 weeks, which means that there's this thing called a permit, driver's license, and it's bittersweet. It's do I really want to get in a car with someone who doesn't know how to drive and try to teach them how to turn without hitting things? But there's also this idea of, man, wouldn't it be good not to have to take him to basketball practice anymore every day? You know, it's bittersweet. Graduation, right? I mean, graduation's coming. Some of you are probably getting there this year. You're watching your young teenager turn 18, and they're finishing up their last few months. There's something bittersweet about graduation. You desperately, as parents, you desperately want to protect them, keep them close, draw them in. You know, like, I just don't want anything bad to happen. I'd love for them to live at our house forever. And yet there's also this pride of, like, they're growing up. They're moving out. They're moving on to the next chapter of their life. It's bittersweet. Marriage. You watch your kids get married. You know, I haven't got to that point yet, but I imagine there's a lot of bittersweetness to it. I'm losing my son. I'm losing my daughter. Someone else is gonna, as a father, someone else is gonna take care of your daughter that you've kind of been your princess for so long. You know, you're handing your child over to somebody else. And you're like, I don't know if they can do it. They're not as good as we are. We love you more. You know, there's kind of like fresh. You know, like, I don't. And yet there's also this sweetness to it, right? Watching your beautiful daughter or son walk down the aisle, stand up front, say I do, promise forever. There's a bittersweet experience with it. And I'm just leading all that to say that this morning is bittersweet. There is a lot of, like, man, I wish we didn't have to. Because Jeremy and I are friends, one part. You know, we've been friends before he came to the church. You know, he was in my youth ministry. It was more than just being in the youth ministry. We have talked ministry together. We have vented in our office together about some of you. And we've planned ministry together, and we've seen God do some incredible stories together. There's this part of we've journeyed through life together, and in some ways, I don't want someone else in his position because I know him now. You know, what if I don't like the other person? What if they have annoying habits? You know, well, okay, well, Jeremy had some too, but we'll let those go. But, you know, what if you don't? What about even as a church? You know, like, man, we just moved into a building and we have a mortgage payment and we're seeing growth happen and we're taking a chance. It feels like sometimes, like, how we're giving up people and we're giving up financial resources, and can we do it? There's bitter, like, this worry, and I even hear it from some of you. There's people that are going with to the Hub with Pastor Jeremy and Trish, and people that I've invested in and are in some of my classes and that I have friendships with, and do you get the, but there's a sweetness to it too. There's this, like, let me paint it this way. As I look at the church, this is what the church is supposed to be doing. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, are all focused on Jesus investing in 12 people. One of those people was Judas, who ended up betraying Jesus and hanging himself, and his intestines burst open. So they're down to 11. In Acts chapter 1, he's invested, after 3 years of his life, in 11 people. And I know there's one reason he invested in 11 people, and plus the women and some of the other few people that are around him. There's one reason. It's because of Acts, which in Acts, Jesus sends. What's the phrase? Matthew 28, last verse, says, Go you into all the world. You sent. Over in Acts chapter 12, there's this scripture, and it's talking about this moment when a church has to decide, will they stay where they are or will they send? And let me read the scripture to you. It's in Acts, starting in verse 24. It says, "But the word of God continued to spread and flourish." And so, before the context is that there's a lot of things happening, a lot of persecution happening to the church. But in spite of the persecution, in spite of people opposing the word of God continued to spread and flourish. Like, people's lives were being transformed. You'd watch, and there'd be only God stories all over the place. There'd be, like, celebrations of baptism. There'd be, like, wow, God is on the move, and God's changing lives. There's a movement happening. Verse 25, when Barnabas and Saul had finished their last mission, what they were called to, what they were pursuing, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, who also called Mark. This is the person that Jeremy was talking about, who had later, a few chapters later, leave them on this journey. Now in the church at Antioch, there are prophets and teachers. Barnabas, who we just talked about, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So these five leaders of the church. Five people who have invested in the church. Five people who are leading the church and pouring into the people around them. And they're all, this is what it says, while verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So these five leaders and probably the church is taking time to really focus on what God desires. They're worshiping. It doesn't mean they're singing songs necessarily. They may have been, but it was a whole lot deeper in that. What worship is response. We're responding to the gospel. We're responding to the good news that Jesus has transformed our life. We're responding that we are not good enough, but God still uses us. They're responding to the fact that God has rescued them, not out of what they deserve, but because out of his goodness. They're responding to this incredible God. They're worshiping. And the other phrase says they're fasting. Fasting is giving up food because you're hungering for something more. And this is what we're hungering for, the word of God, for God to speak. And so these leaders are sitting around. They're responding to the greatness of God. They're saying, God, this church is yours. You're the leader. You have done thing after thing. The word of God is spreading. Lives are being transformed. We are fasting. We are seeking you in this. What do you want, God? What do you want, Jesus? What's our next step? Where do you want us to go? Speak to us. You take charge. Do whatever you want in this group. May you take leadership. Tell us what you want. And so the Holy Spirit speaks, and this is what it says. Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had prayed and fasted, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. So here's my word. You're like, what's the word? This is the word. Sentness. I don't even know if it's a real word, but it's a word today. We as a church, as the hub, want to live in our sentness. That by following Jesus Christ, we can't stay where we are. We are moving. We're on the go. And we are supposed to live in this idea of sentness. That God has chosen each of us. When I was looking at the hub and looking at the people that are going with Jeremy, those people have fasted and they've prayed and they've sought God. And they're like, God, what do you want from me? And they have experienced this idea of God speaking, say, I want you to go. I want you to live in this sentness. I want you to go serve in this community. I want you to go make a difference. And they have responded, not because they live closer to Elmira, not because they like Jeremy, not because the only reason to respond to this call is because God has said, you need to go. And for many of them, for some of them, they don't really want to go. They would much rather sit in a seat here than go to this place, the Transformation Center, the hub, and pour into people who are, some people will be very tough and face opposition. You know, there's a comfort here. But when God says, I have chosen you, I have set you apart, he says, I want you to go. When you know your call, let me just say this. We all in this room have a calling. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there is something that God has called you to do. There is a mission. You know the song, dun, 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 dun. I'm not very good at that humming thing. You ever play that game where they're supposed to guess what it is? Mission Impossible, if you didn't know what that was. You know, there's a mission that you're designed for. God has knit you together. God has gifted you. He has given you passions. And he says, I want you to live in your sentness. I don't want you to live in your comfort and just sit back and relax. I want to send you. Now, some of you are from staying at Higher Hope. You are still, you're still living in your sentness. You're still having to go to work. You're still on mission there. You're still on mission here. You're living in the world. We all of us need to live in our sentness. That God, by design, has chosen you to make an impact someplace and somehow. Now, as we look at the hub, His United Body Church, we're releasing them to say God has called you, God has designed you to go make an impact in that area. And so I don't look at it as a split. I don't look at this. It's bittersweet, yes, but we are living out the New Testament church, the book of Acts, where they were constantly sending people, and that's where we want to get to as a church. This is step one of many steps of raising up missionaries, investing in young people who will become youth leaders, investing in business people who will start businesses for the glory of God, investing in people who just show up at the schools and at at their work environment, being on mission, on call, on purpose, that they know that they were called to be right where they're at. And we are today investing in the hub and saying, we send you, not because we really want to, because it's easier to keep you, but because we know this is the call of God on our church and on your church, on you. And so we hold people this way. We hold people not holding on to. We hold all people this way. God gives and God takes away. God brings in, God sends. And we want to invest in the people that God gives us so that we can eventually send them out. And so this is what it says. It says, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. That's what we're doing this morning. We have 30 to 50 people who are going with Pastor Jeremy to the hub starting next week. And we want to send them off with our blessing and with the Spirit of God behind them, with the power of God with them. And we want them to do unbelievable, incredible things. I want to read. This is what I was, as I was looking at this week, this is what I want to say about the sentness thing. God has called you to go and make a difference. Go and spread the hope that is the gospel. Go and see lives transformed. Go and experience God's stories in your life. Go up against the gates of Hades and know that it will not overtake you. Go to the hopeless. Go to the broken. Go to the hurting. Go to the lonely and bring Jesus and the good news that he came to meet every one of their needs to them. Go and disciple men. Go and disciple women. Go invest in kids' lives. Go invest in teenagers' lives. Go and bless the city. Love the city. Pour into the city. Go in the face of opposition, in the face of persecution, go anyway. In the face of roadblocks and tough times, go anyway. Because I would much rather be in the center of the will of God going to who knows where than trying to play it safe right here. And so we want to send you so that you can make an incredible difference where you have been called. And so I'm going to invite those who will be going to the hub to come kneel at the cross. What we're going to do is we're going to pray over them. We're going to place our hands on them. By the way, when you see the placing of the hands, what we're saying is, what we're praying is that we want the Holy Spirit's power on display in their life. It's a form of blessing. You know, you ever see that in the movie where you place your hands on someone? It's a form of blessing. We want to do that. So come, kneel at the cross, both crosses. And I'm going to ask you guys to stand. If you're a leader, a ministry leader, if you know people up here, I'm going to ask you to come up and just surround them, place your hands on them. And we're going to pray together that God does more than we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in his church for generation to generation. And so let's stand together. Let's pray over this group. Heavenly Father, we come before you over this team, these people that you have called, these people who you have chosen, these people who are going on mission with you. We pray your blessing on them. We pray your Holy Spirit will guide, will direct, will empower, will give wisdom to them as they go and serve the people of Elmira. May they see lives transformed. May kids grasp the good news. May teenagers experience what it's like to be in relationship with you. May adults be addictions be broken and relationships healed and hope found, God, in the midst of a broken and crazy world that we live in. We pray for wisdom and creativity in their ministries. We pray for an anointing in the preaching and the music. We pray for the worship experiences, the worship services, that they will not be just a performance, that they'll be Holy Spirit driven, and you will do amazing things in and through every time that they gather together. As they love on the community, as they build relationships with people around them, may they connect. May your Holy Spirit flow through those loving relationships, that the people who they come in contact with will experience what it's like to meet a follower of Jesus Christ. May people who are on the outside be brought in. May those who are lonely experience what it's like to be in community. May those who are broken just find healing. And I just ask, God, that your blessing and your power will be on display in this church. May it not be about them. May it not be about Pastor Jeremy and Trish and the leaders. May it be all about you. May you lead this church. And we send them with our blessing. We ask that you meet every need according to your power and your riches. And may you do more than we all we ask or imagine. May we just come get together sometime and celebrate what you're about to do, that you'll release yourself on them with all your power. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship together with a song, and some of you have been hopefully thinking about your word. You have had